can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Computer's not working.
Hey, everybody. Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Good afternoon. One hour down, three to go. We got no sound.
Gremlins.
Cool. I don't know.
We're still here. Microphones still work. We'll just start this hour. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. No, I don't want that.
Stevie Wonder, too.
Oh, really? Which one?
Key of Life?
I close out of it. I think it was, does I Wish sound right?
No.
Maybe it wasn't Stevie Wonder.
You can follow me at Twitter at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepard at Pete Shepard 326.
Great start this hour, huh?
All right, so with the computer down, are you going to be able to play the sound that I wanted to play?
We can try.
All right, let's see here, because we got ourselves a big game between Pete's Patriots and Chris's Dolphins. My Lions did the job and beat both your squads. Are you two going to have a sandwich bet on this one, or are you going to just relax and just enjoy the game one way or the other?
No, but I'll tell you right now, I'll take the points with Miami.
How many are we getting?
I think right now 7.5, 8.
Yeah, I'll take the points too.
Yeah, because Miami owns the Patriots. Because Tom Brady Saggy Face must come down here and party on South Beach.
Oh, Saggy Face.
He gets away from that TB12 diet and starts drinking some margaritas down on South Beach.
If we're only that simple. Mm. But a lot of factors go in. He's 1-5 in December against the Dolphins in his career. 7-9 overall, but 1-5, 9-10. I mean, 9 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions.
It's not focused.
1-5 against Miami at Hard Rock, whatever they want to call it, whatever it's been called over the years. 25-2 against everybody else. Touchdown of interception ratio against the Dolphins during the 9 touchdowns, 10 picks. Everybody else, 35 touchdowns. 16 picks.
Man,
17 picks.
If the Dolphins could ever get them in the playoffs at home, I mean, that would be...
January.
Last time that happened was 85. And if it took 7 turnovers, I believe, that by the Patriots that caused them on the Dolphins to win that game and snap that 17-game losing streak.
All right, if our computers are working, Bill Belichick talking about this, and he says, wherever we play the Dolphins, they're tough no matter what.
Yeah, well, the Dolphins are a good football team. They have a lot of talented players. They're well coached. Coach Gase does a great job utilizing his personnel and putting together schemes and making adjustments in the game and in game plans. I think he attacks defenses consistently very well. He's always given us a hard time. Sure, it'll be tough then against Miami like it always is. Wherever we play him, it's hard. They did a great job against us down there last year in the second game. And that's a big challenge.
It's quite a lengthy soliloquy there by the short-spoken Bill Belichick usually. Wow, very impressive. Doing a great job with the personnel is code word for their team really sucks, but they get the most out of what they have. Right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Adam Gase on his side. He says all we can do is focus on the next game.
Just prepare for that week's game. I mean, that's all we can do. I mean, every game at this point of the season is going to be meaningful, no matter who you're playing. So we have to just focus on preparing. Correcting the things we need to correct. Just focus on our guys doing their job.
Adam Gase sounds more boring than Bill Belichick.
I was just going to say, this late in the season, you got to have a little pep in your step, buddy. You got to have a little energy. Let's go.
Yeah, and Danny Amendola looks like he is going to play first time in a few games, right? I mean, and so he definitely wants to play against as a former team. I predict a hell of a game. It's going to be a little stormy, too.
Really?
Look at the forecast, yeah. It's a little... thunderstorm, 80 degrees, but a little.
Oh, we cleared out all this. We got it's freezing outside right now.
So cold.
Freezing. It's 65.
I just stepped outside. I had to step into the sunlight because in the shade, I was literally cold.
God. Yeah. Pull up your white tube socks.
They're up as far as they can go.
Calf socks.
Yeah, exactly. elsewhere, Dirk Cutter. Been compromising lately, letting Jameis Winston run a little more. That's code word for my job's on the line. We got to get some yards.
I think when Jameis makes those two runs, like I've talked about, those 18-yard runs, that's above and beyond the call of duty. I'm fine if Jameis goes north and south, gets what he can, and gets down. And he did that a couple times yesterday, too. So I look at that as above and beyond, just because it's my belief system that eventually those hits add up on a quarterback. So I'd rather Jameis not take those hits. So I guess maybe that's the compromise, where his competitive side versus the just can't turn the ball over. So he's been doing a good job of that.
Total is 55.5 for that game. How about the Rams-Bears total? 51.5. That's a big total where it's probably going to be freezing.
With two good defenses.
And Chicago Sunday night.
Yeah.
Woo.
I go under on
Trubisky
that one.
Back. I think so, but...
All right, Mike Tomlin was asked about poor officiating Sunday night. Just to refresh your memory, this was against the Chargers. There were, like, fake snaps and offsides on kicks, and there were false starts galore, one in particular that was so obvious that the Chargers had from the right tackle, even though Phillip Rivers threw a touchdown pass. They didn't call the false start. The line judge has one job, and he couldn't do it. So anyway, Mike Tomlin was asked about the poor officiating.
Has the organization received any calls from the league about any of the activities from Sunday night?
I'm not outlining that. I know oftentimes you do, and, you know, in an effort to seek comfort, but we're not seeking comfort. We're going to dwell in this misery that we're in and get ready for our next opportunity. If we have any communication with those guys regarding what happened in that stadium, it will remain between us and them.
The down judge in your game had already been subbed out this year. He'd had somebody else come in for him. How do you feel about that process in general?
Not my bag. I got enough issues working with this group. That's between Al and company in New York, and I'm sure they're addressing it in some form or fashion.
What did he say at the beginning of that soundbite? We're going to dwell in our misery? Is that what he said?
We're not going to seek comfort. We're going to dwell in our misery.
He said, I'm tired of giving money away to the NFL office and all that stuff. By the way, someone said at 239, how do you not notice the 1990 keyboard in the background with Bill, like, click, click, click? That's not Bill typing. Every press conference for every coach is transcribed. And there's always somebody that happened to be, for whatever reason, on his conference call with his speakerphone. Every press conference is transcribed. I'm not even sure if that was coming from Bill's desk.
It could have been a reporter. That's how they take notes, right?
And somebody in the NFL, somebody for every team is sitting there and transcribing every single word because it's released to the media afterwards.
There you go. All right, I think that's it for some NFL. I want to segue into college football a little bit, too. Mm. By the way, Chris, note to you. Maryland has hired a new football coach finally, and they have pilfered the staff at Alabama.
Of course.
And the offensive coordinator.
Means they won't be focused all that much, will they?
I guess not.
Against Oklahoma.
Yeah, how about that? It's Mike Locksley? He's been an assistant at Alabama for 2 years. He's been the offensive coordinator for 1 year, and he has been pilfered. This is the fourth straight offensive coordinator, I believe, to be taken away.
And also college football. Kelly Bryant, you know, going to Missouri. Drew Locke is done. He could have gone to Auburn, Arkansas, North Carolina, or Miami. And Barry Odom, who's had a very nice season, I think an underrated coach so far. He's the lowest paid coach in the SEC. He only makes $2.5 million
a year. Missouri.
I don't care.
It's broke.
$2.35 million. I don't care.
That's
8-4 record?
Wow.
No, I'm saying that's surprising to you?
No.
No, I'm saying I think he deserves a little bit more. I think he's done a pretty good job with that program. They're only going to get better.
I got a coaching question for both of you. Yeah. Let's say the money was the same. I'm going to go back to this Locksley guy. Would you rather be an offensive coordinator at Alabama or a head coach at Maryland, which is obviously going to be one of the worst jobs in college football?
It doesn't matter. It's on your resume. I think you want to be a head coach.
I also wonder,
as long as you're not on probation forever or not, you know, you can still be on television and still make a bowl game and you don't get the death penalty, so to speak.
Well, I mean, they did have a player die. That's going to hurt recruiting, and that's a bad job. I think that Maryland job right now.
Well, but so yeah, right. Penn State's job was bad too, and Billy O'Brien.
Yeah,
took
you're right.
Over,
you're right. Know? I agree with the premise at head coach, but I'm just wondering day to day enjoyment of life.
How would you feel about it?
Thing I think what's going on in Alabama, because they are losing a lot of coordinators, and I do believe that people are trying to steal some of the Alabama magic and figure out how to. But I also think. It is hell on wheels working for Nick Saban. I just think it is probably a joyless job.
Well, we know that from Lane Kiffin.
I know that from Lane Kiffin. And
yeah, but others may not feel that way.
Well, just in my impression and my observations of the Alabama program, and I think a lot of these top-notch head coaches, I don't think Urban Meyer's easy to work for either. I think you're walking around 8 days a week, 8 months out of the year on pins and needles every day, either getting ready to get blown up verbally or something from a coach that's going to be a hothead. I think it's tough.
I think with Urban, and he admitted it, you know, he's paranoid about everything. You see, that's the difference between him and some other guys. See, I don't think Nick Saban is paranoid about everything. I know I know he tries to fake it like you know, every team is as good as him no matter what. I understand that. Belichick does sort of the same thing, but I don't think either one of those guys is paranoid. I think Urban Meyer is paranoid. I think he's the one that will look at a little tiny paragraph in the Iowa, whatever, Des Moines Times and go, oh, they're making fun of me again. You know, some high school reporter at some local paper. I think he takes that stuff to heart. A lot of times, Howard Cosell was like that, and obviously different in the media. There are a lot of media guys that are like that. They look through every little piece and see how they were criticized. But I think Urban Meyer is a little bit different than some of the other coaches we just mentioned.
Urban Meyer's like, that's Sheeman and Shepard were ripping me again today.
Yeah.
Oh, about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I do also have, before we get into this, I want to get into your college football rankings in the next segment for the Bulls.
But
you also mentioned something interesting, and this is the second time I've heard it, so I want to explore it. If UCF played Notre Dame's schedule, first of all, what's the question? Would they be left out, or would they still be undefeated with this schedule?
They would not be undefeated, but they might have only lost one game, and that one game might have been the first game to Michigan. Other than that,
all right, let's go. Let's run down their schedule. What do we think? All right,
opening game against Michigan.
They lose that
and
game.
And say that would be at home at the bounce house. I'm going to give you exacts if this was Notre Dame. If UCF played Notre Dame's schedule. So, at home against Michigan, I think it would be close. Tough loss.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tough loss, though, but close.
Okay.
Like 24-17, let's say that.
Same thing as, okay.
All right. Maybe a little more high scoring than that. Okay. Versus Ball State, I can tell you this, they would have beat them by more than 8 points at home. I know that.
That's a win.
Versus Vanderbilt, they would have beat Vandy. And Vandy said, no, Mason's done a good job with them.
Okay.
But I think they would have beat Vandy at home by more than five.
I agree.
And that was a game that both coaches tried to pee away. It really was horribly coached the last 5 minutes on both sides. At Wake Forest, I absolutely think they would have won the ball.
Yeah.
Notre Dame won by 29. I think you could say UCF would have done the same thing.
Yep.
Home against a very weak Stanford team. That was ranked 7th at the time. Okay. Ooh. And Notre Dame blasted them 38-17. But most of those points, if I remember, were in the second half. Still, I think UCF beats Stanford this year.
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with that.
Right, I'm not. Stanford was not a good team this year.
Yeah,
they were ranked 7th at the time.
Bryce
but we know
Love
they
still,
were not. That was they were Pac-10 favorites and they didn't come close.
Was Bryce Love still healthy in Week 4?
No,
he was not.
No.
Yeah, this is Week 5 already, and it's Stanford. I think UCF wins that game.
All right,
at Virginia Tech, that's another one. When Notre Dame, they were even in the first half, and then Notre Dame blew them out in the second half. That's a tough one. I still think. When we seen Virginia Tech, I think UCF would have beaten them.
I think they
would have.
I don't know. I can't go with
that. I'm giving it to them.
All right.
Home against Pittsburgh. Notre Dame should have lost this game. Barely hung on for a 5-point win. We already know UCF blasted them into oblivion. They already played Pitt. They beat them already handily. Much easier than Notre Dame did against Pittsburgh.
That's at Pittsburgh?
No, it's home.
Oh.
But we already know that UCF played them this year and whipped them.
Yeah.
So, another win for UCF.
Right.
Home versus Navy, all right?
Probably would have won that one.
Would have won that one. At Northwestern, this might have been the toughest one.
That would have been tough.
At Northwestern, Notre Dame, it took a late surge for them to win by 10, 31-21. That's debatable.
Let's say they lose that one.
I think that's more debatable than the Stanford game.
So, all right. So we got the Michigan and Northwestern. The two Big Ten schools, by the way.
Yep.
The two losses.
Home against FSU, which I think they absolutely would have won. Home against Syracuse, so that game was at Yankee Stadium. I think they would have won that one. And then at USC, I think they would have won that one, and they would have won it by more. They would have won it more comfortably than Notre Dame did, and had a comeback being down 10.
I don't know.
In that game,
going out to USC is a big deal for a school like Central Florida.
I don't know.
I'm not going to be as generous with the wins. I see three losses on that schedule. Two definitely with Notre Dame and Michigan, and then I'm a lot of floater. One out of three games there I think they would lose.
They just play different style of games that it's tough.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's a three loss schedule for UCF.
You know, they ran. The defense for Notre Dame smothered Syracuse in that game to where they couldn't move the ball past the 50. I don't think UCF's defense would have been able to do that.
No, I agree. But I think they would have
probably would have scored more points than them. So it's just, I don't.
Well, all right. Let's just play a little do Mr. Rogers make believe a second, okay?
All right.
You could be King Friday. And and just say that they lost one game. Say they had, instead of 12-0 in Notre Dame, say they went 11-1.
Okay.
Or say they even went 12-0. Okay. Say they went 12-0.
Okay.
Do you think they would have been left out? I bet you they would have.
Yes.
With that schedule?
Yeah. Who are you taking out?
Well, depending on.
Who are you taking out?
No, I think if they go undefeated with that schedule, they're in because it's way better than the schedule they're playing because of their conference right now. Mm-hmm. You got all the D1s in there that we keep complaining they never play. They run that table on that schedule. Yeah, I think UCF is in the top four.
I'm just wondering, it would be interesting to see if you took the names of the teams off the back of the jerseys and put it in front of the committee.
Okay, so the Michigan one I'll give you.
Yeah.
But let's play it out with Michigan, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's say they beat Michigan barely.
Yeah.
And Ohio State wipes the floor with Michigan at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. They're going to be put in the same conversation. That committee will want Ohio State over UCF.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if everybody just said, you know,
common opponent, that's what they'll go for.
Black and white jerseys and no school name on the front.
Okay.
You presented the same results to the same committee without knowing who was Notre Dame and who was UCF. I wonder, psychologically, what effect that would have on the committee.
Based on your two argument, UCF should just pack up its bags, close its football program, or go to 1AA because they'll never do it.
No, I'm not saying they'll never do it. I think it's
presented a scenario where we checked all the boxes that were missing this year.
They're never getting in with four. Never.
No. But that's why they'll go to eight. Eventually.
You can win 180 games in a row. It's not happening.
Not with the schedule they have this year.
It's not.
It's going to happen because it's going to expand, and there's no question it's going to expand.
What are they ranked right now? Eight?
Yes.
Eighth.
They didn't budge.
And I am convinced if they're ranked eighth with that schedule, then if they can schedule two power fives,
mm-hmm, which they
and
have
win
next year.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
You go from eight to four. You have to.
I would think.
You're presenting a whole Notre Dame schedule of independent
matches. Mine's more.
They've got to get in with that.
Mine's more psychological for the committee. If you took that.
If you go to eight, UCF's not getting in this year.
Right.
If it were eight teams this year, UCF would still be on the outside looking in.
That's if you're assuming the conference champions
with
all
two power five wins that they don't have. I'm saying
you get your five. Conference champions.
Yeah.
Remember, that's the only way eight will work.
And three at-larges.
And then three at-larges. Who's going to take those at-larges?
Georgia.
We know that. Notre Dame. We know that. And then it comes down to the conversation. Ohio State or UCF? Which one do you think the committee puts in?
I don't disagree with you this year.
I guess Ohio State would have won the Big Ten.
I don't disagree with you this year in 2018. But if you throw in some of these schools on Notre Dame's schedule with that, they've got to be in the top eight. I mean, or top four, whatever you want to say. They have to.
I just think psychologically it would be interesting to see how the committee would react if presented by here. Just look at these schedules. Is this team deserving to be in the college football playoff? And you got to wonder psychologically how they'd be affected knowing or not knowing that one of those teams was UCF. I think it would be interesting.
239 hits the nail on the head. There are less than 20 brands the committee would put in the playoff. You can toss 100 teams out before the season even begins. And you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Then everybody else needs to quit.
Do
a subdivision and get on with their lives.
I think the group of five can do their own playoff.
Yeah.
That'd be entertaining. Boise State, who wouldn't want to watch that? Fresno State's had a hell of a season. They've been ranked in the top 25.
One thing Jim Delaney said the other day, commissioner of the Big Ten, which I think is interesting, there has been more talk now, he said, than there has ever been in the last 4 years. Forgetting East or West in the Big Ten, just simply have the two best teams play in the championship.
Well, it's so lopsided right now. And 20 years from now, it could be the opposite.
Which would have been, a Michigan-Ohio State game again.
But you can't.
Two weeks in a row.
It happens in the NFL.
I'm against that.
It happens in the NFL. It happens occasionally in the NCAA basketball tournament. It happens.
Well, the Big Ten tried to avoid this when they had the legends and the leaders division.
Yeah.
Problem is, you couldn't remember who was where.
I never did.
And you're a Big Ten guy.
I'm a Big Ten guy.
Right.
I mean, which one's Michigan in? Okay, which one's Indiana in? Okay, I'm good.
So when you divide it up geographically, Of course, mm-hmm. the East is always going to be better than the West.
No, Northwest.
They just they need Nebraska, mm-hmm. Wisconsin to get their stuff together, so they're competitive. Iowa.
Yep. Yeah. But you'd have, you know, Ohio State and Michigan in the conference, both finished 8-1. Northwestern finished 8-1, but overall it would have been Ohio State at 12-1 and Michigan 10-2. That would have been your title game. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would have had a problem with that on neutral field in Indianapolis. Would have been. I would have had no problem with that at all. Would you? I mean, I think a lot of people would like to see that. Would have liked to seen that. More people would rather see that game in Indianapolis than Northwestern Ohio State.
Two weeks in a row after a 60-point beatdown. You're going to do it again the next week? That's going to make any difference?
I mean, it's difficult. But Boise State and Fresno State, same thing.
They play every year back-to-back.
It seems that way.
And nobody knows.
Although there was a stat that they played four times in a 365-day window.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they split?
I think Boise went 3-1 in those games.
Yeah, and most recently just lost at home to him, which was a rare occasion.
All right, so now that we've everything lined up, we got our bowl games ready to go. We got our bowl schedules. We have a watchability scale between the worst and the best and everything in between. When we come back, we'll run that down, have some fun with that. More college football talk. Stay with us. Scheman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Scheman and Shepherd.
Craig Scheman, Pete Shepherd. Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. We're talking some college football. And in a second, we're going to have watchability rankings for all the bowl games coming up. But first, we have some other, I don't want to call it breaking news, but we have a breaking situation.
What is going on with your former people?
My former people?
Yeah.
The San Fernando Valley?
Yes.
I didn't live in the San Fernando Valley. I lived in just north of there. But what's going on?
It happened again.
Another
cops
break-in?
Cops are on the hunt for the dirtbags who broke into the home of L.A. Chargers star tight end Antonio Gates and his wife, Sasha, over the weekend while their kids were inside the house.
Oh.
Scary situations. Surveillance cameras at the San Fernando Valley home captured multiple suspects climbing a gate and stalking around the property over the weekend. And TMZ has it. We're told the men targeted Antonio's garage where they stole a number of items and rummaged through some of Antonio's high-end cars, including a Rolls Royce. All the while, we're told Antonio's kids were inside the house. The burglars never made contact with the family, but they stole a bunch of stuff, including a hoverboard belonging to one of Antonio's kids. Cops had their surveillance footage and hunting for the suspect. Sources connected to the investigation tell us it appears the men may have cased the property before they struck because they knew exactly where to head once they climbed the fence. So Gates is the latest high-profile burglary victim in the area, as TMZ reported this year. Bunch of arrests, Yasiel Puig, Robert Woods, Rihanna, all burglarized. Unclear if cops believe the suspects in the Gates incident have any connection to the other cases. How does this happen?
Got respect for somebody who can climb a fence now.
For those that don't know, that's how Chris got home last night. After the holiday Christmas party. The Uber driver didn't have the code, and Chris's fence got fixed for the first time in 5 months.
Gate. Not so. My gate, my neighborhood's gate.
I got you.
But that is
one thing in that area of Los Angeles. See all the LAPD and all the police officers. They live in the next valley to the north, the Simi Valley. So you don't see any break-ins there. But yeah, these guys are casing these athletes when they're out performing and they're on TV and they're breaking into their houses. It's crazy.
They not been arrested?
I thought they made an arrest after the fourth Yasiel Puig deal.
They're trying to tie him in all together.
Yeah. Big scam going on. Got to be careful. That's why I left L.A., man. It's rough. It's a rough neighborhood out there. All of L.A., even the nice areas. It's rough. Now here I'm in Southwest Florida with all our safe gated communities where none of our gates work.
Sam Darnold expected to play Sunday versus the Bills. Great.
All right. Let's talk some college football bowls.
Yeah.
All right. How are we going to do this?
All right. So here's the thing. SB Nation, the college football segment here, did watchability for all the bowl games.
Okay.
All right. And
So the premise here is all the .com bowls in early December are unwatchable?
A big group of them got together and ranks all 39 pre-championship bowls on a watchability scale from 1 being bad to 5 being amazing.
Okay.
And here are the results averaged out after 13 of us voted at SB Nation.
Okay.
So I'll say the absolute must-watches for the end, okay?
Yeah.
You want to start from worst?
Yeah, are the worst bowl? What is the worst, like, December 16th .com bowl between
the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Juice Boca Raton Bowl?
I still remember that.
It's a great product.
These get worse by progression. So the Belk
Helps Bowl. Helps with arthritis.
December 29th, the Belk Bowl, Virginia versus South Carolina.
The Belk
Bowl? I actually think that's going to be an interesting game.
Belk.
Yeah. Watchability score 2.1.
I think that's a good game.
I think that is a good game. Virginia's, that's a decent game.
That's going to be a boring game to watch.
I don't think so.
All right.
The Cheez-It Bowl on December 26th.
Delicious.
Cal versus TCU. Watchability score 2.1.
Now, you guys remember Cheez Nips?
Yes. They still have those.
Yeah.
Yep.
The worst thing when you own a bag of cheeses and somebody brings you a bag of Cheez Nips.
Yeah.
They're nasty.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they can look so close to each other yet taste so different.
Texture. Yeah.
Wow. Well, one of the big styrofoam-looking orange cheese.
Cheetos.
Oh, Cheetos are great.
Now, are fantastic.
I would never go out of my way to eat a Cheeto. But if I have them, I'm eating them. It's kind of like the candy corn of the salted snacks.
Don't do that to Cheetos.
If it's there, But I never go out of my way to eat them the first time.
I can't believe Cheetos you would just say that. That's an insult to Cheetos.
It's not a fact. Candy corn and Cheetos? How dare you, sir?
You go crunchy or puff Cheetos.
Go stand in the corner.
Crunchy got a little extra kick.
Go stand in the corner. Greg's going on timeout.
Am I in the penalty box?
Timeout. No. Don't do penalty boxes here. Do torture chambers.
All right.
No, all right. You're out of the penalty. You're out of the
fun part about this segment are the stupid, not the, the sponsors.
The stupid names. We can say that.
Yeah. Okay,
there we go. Spending money with us.
Sure.
This one's sponsored by the state of Texas. The Texas Bowl, December 27th, also with a watchability score of 2.1. Remember, based on 1 to 5, 1 being worse. These are the worst ones, and they're going to get worse.
Wait a minute. The Texas Bowl either used to be like in South Florida or the Bahamas or something, and they moved it to like the middle of Texas where nobody wants to go.
El Paso.
Baylor versus Vandy.
I'm sorry, I have no interest in that game.
Matt Rhule, coach on the rise.
Derek Mason's
done a good job with the
I don't tune in to watch a coach.
The Arizona Bowl, December 29th. This is where it starts to get really bad. Watchability score of 2.
The Arizona Bowl? I've never heard of that.
Yeah. It's in Arizona.
Must have been some.
Thanks.
Really? It's Michigan.
Arkansas State versus Nevada.
I will not watch Nevada. That game. Although Nevada's
Nevada.
Supposed to be
no,
good.
It's Nevada. We came to that conclusion.
No, Nevada.
Nevada. No, just a bus job. We say Nevada. December 29th. Then the Gasparilla Bowl on December 20th.
Tampa.
That's one of my favorites.
I love Gasparilla.
Yeah.
Yep. This is also getting a bad watchable score of 2. Marshall versus South Florida. Nah.
I don't know much about the Thundering Herd this year.
Yeah. Probably going to be a decent game. Probably a lot of points in that game, but that's I agree. Now it's still in a 2.0 range. On December 27th, the Independence Bowl. This could be one of the worst ones. I'm sorry. Duke versus Temple. Temple will win that game. Ooh. Temple's a better team.
Yeah, really? Temple will score a lot of points.
Yep, Temple will win that
Duke's
game.
Duke's not good in football?
They were okay. They weren't as good as they beat Miami. Decent.
Tune in to watch Cutcliffe.
Beat Miami this year. The Holiday Bowl. It used to be a decent bowl back in the day. This is on New Year's Eve. With a watchability rating of 1.9. Northwestern versus Utah. Now, if you didn't see the Utes play against Washington last week, you missed the dandy.
Their quarterback
10-3
threw 3 interceptions on 3 consecutive passes. I believe
he had
4 picks in the game.
Nice.
Yep.
I probably won't watch that, but I'll check the box score
for
the Big Ten school Northwestern there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you come up runner up in the Big Ten championship, and that's what you get.
That's what you get. That's what you get. Huh? Holiday Bowl, December 31st.
Northwest.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The Cure Bowl, which has on December 15th, is one of the first ones. A watchability score now into the 1.9s.
The Cure Bowl?
Tulane versus University of Louisiana Lafayette.
Yuck.
This is one of the first ones.
Where's it at?
It's the Cure Bowl. I'm not sure where the Cure Bowl is at.
The Cure Cancer? Breast Cancer? Is that something what that's about?
I'll tell you in 2 seconds here.
Oh. That's the first one out of the box. December 15th.
AutoNation Cure Bowl.
Where?
It's in Florida. It's in Orlando.
Oh.
At Camping World.
All right.
Yeah, the Cure Bowl is named to promote awareness and research of breast cancer with proceeds going to Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
Fantastic cause. Mm-hmm. Not so fantastic game.
Misplaced.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Now we – so that – the then one other game is the worst bowl, watchability bowl. We'll get to the better ones in a second.
Okay.
With an average score of 1.8 is the Frisco Bowl on December 19th between the Bobcats of Ohio and San Diego State. San Diego State started off – they were supposed to be – pretty good.
Yeah.
They have failed. Failed.
I'm not watching that game.
And then there's one that's even ranked worse, 1.7. And the headline is, there's a bowl game in the Bahamas that's named for an industrial park in Illinois, and that counts for something. So the makers wanted Bahamas Bowl on December 21st with the worst watchability of 1.7.
That used to be the Popeyes Bahama Bowl.
Yeah, FIU versus Toledo.
That's always a really good game.
That's a good game.
It is.
Toledo throws the ball all over the place. FIU, Butch did a good job with that team this year, better than FAU.
That was some rich guy in Chicago, tired of freezing, and he said, I'm going to organize a bowl, and I'm going to put it in the Bahamas.
No, it used to be the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl. It used to be Popeyes Chicken.
How come Popeyes Chicken didn't want to do it anymore?
I don't know. Maybe they weren't getting their bang for their buck in the Bahamas.
I don't think I've ever had Popeye's chicken.
I've never had Popeye's chicken.
They were all over the place in Houston when I lived there.
Really?
Yeah.
I had it once a long time ago.
All right, what else?
Never mind.
What? No.
Nah, never mind.
Okay.
All right, now, let's see. This is, now we're into the...
A little more watchable
little
now?
A little more watchable.
Let's get the good games.
The best? You want to fast forward?
I don't know. Games? We got like 4 minutes here.
Let me see what some better games
thinking
are.
Ahead.
Good thinking.
All right. Here's some better ones, okay?
All right.
Pick half of these if the time's tight. First Responders Bowl with a 2.8, Boston College versus Boise State, December 20th.
You're all over that. Boise's You're watching that from roll. Start to finish. I probably won't watch it, but I know Pete Shepard is all over that one. Probably has some action on it,
You
too.
Can break that game down, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dylan
runs for 150 yards, BC has a chance. Otherwise, Boise State will win. Right? Is that at their place, the First Responders
sounds
Bowl?
Sounds about right.
Where's the First Responders Bowl at December 26th? I will tell you in 1 second here.
That should be New York City.
It's in Dallas, actually.
Oh.
It's in Dallas. All right. The Red Box Bowl, December 31st.
Okay.
With a 2.8 ranking, Michigan State versus Oregon. The Red Box Bowl. Then you got on the 27th, the Pinstripe Bowl, Miami versus Wisconsin, a rematch of last year's debacle.
We got to watch that.
2.8.
Part of the job.
And then the Peach Bowl on December 29th. This only has a watchability score of 2.8. I'm surprised. That's Florida versus Michigan.
What's the date again? The
28th? 29th.
Yeah. First Responders Bowl is at the historic Cotton Bowl Stadium on December 26th.
Yeah, and that's not a fancy stadium in the middle of the plains of Texas on December. That's not pleasant. Yeah. That's not going to be pleasant.
And then on December 15th, the New Orleans Bowl, Appalachian State versus Middle Tennessee. That's a boring.
I might check in on some App State.
No, that's a boring.
I like App State.
All right, let's get to some of the better ones, okay? That's not it.
Best of the best?
Well, one of them, it says a 3.2 on New Year's Day, the Citrus Bowl, Kentucky versus Penn State. I think that's an interesting game.
You should be all over that. You've been touting Kentucky all year.
I think that's an interesting game, depending on who wants to play in
it. By the way, Indiana beat Penn State in basketball last night. Yeah.
8-6-3. Popeye's Chicken is the best around, guys. Much better than KFC. I don't hold KFC in very high regard, if we're going to be honest with each other here.
I
think it's an overrated fast food chain.
I eat KFC about once every 3 years. Mm. Just when
it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
The 12 herbs and spices? I don't know.
I'm more freaked out by them changing out the colonel. I can't keep track of which actor is who's the latest one? Is she doing the dirty dancing one? Is that her?
Know.
No, there's a diminutive little guy doing it. I don't know who it is. George Costanza was in there for a while. They've had like 8 different colonels.
The extra crispy colonel was the funniest one, where he's on the beach getting the sunburn.
Yeah, what was that actor's name?
That was funny.
I forget. I just remember when they had the grilled chicken. I used to get that because it was a little healthier. It was pretty good. But All right, real quick. Should be really good. These are 4.2. These are 3.4 up to 4.2. 3.4. North Texas at Utah State, December 15th, New Mexico Bowl. Not really. Armed Forces Bowl.
Can you imagine that? You get to go to a bowl game in New Mexico.
Yep.
I'll pass.
Yeah. No, you go see all the Breaking Bad areas.
I'll pass
areas.
As I travel through go to El Paso. To
Armed Forces Bowl, Army versus Houston, December 22nd, has a 3.5 watchability rate again, ranking them 1 for worst, 5 to best. Alamo Bowl, Iowa State versus Washington State, December 28th.
That's a
good game.
Yeah.
And then Auburn versus Purdue, December 28th, which is a 3.9 watchable rate.
I think that's
going
to be a great game, actually.
Probably. And then this one's got a 4.2. Syracuse versus West Virginia, December 28th, your watchability rate. All right, now we go to the best ones real quickly here. Going from really good to great. And a watchability score of 4.5, the Sugar Bowl, Georgia versus Texas on January 1st. Let's see how motivated Georgia is in that game.
Yeah.
With a 4.5, the Cotton Bowl semifinal between Clemson and Notre Dame, December 29th, with a 4.5.
All in.
The Rose Bowl, Ohio State versus Washington, with a 4.8, gets a higher ranking.
I always watch the
on
Rose
New Year's
Bowl.
Day.
Is it 11 herbs and spices or 12? Might be 11.
Thought it was 12.
Thanks, Dopey.
Maybe they need 12.
They need something extra.
Fiesta Bowl with a 4-8 on January 1st. LSU versus UCF.
Now I'm hungry for chicken.
That is a big. And then, of course, Alabama, Oklahoma, number one with a 4.8 on December 29th.
Yep.
We'll be locked into that.
Tied, though. Tied with LSU and UCF.
Roll Tide.
And Ohio State and
Go
Washington.
Knights.
Yep.
Or so charge on. Whatever you guys say.
What do we say?
UCF?
Yeah.
I think they say charge on.
Charge on?
Do they?
Because they're Knights.
Because they can't say Roll Tide.
Yeah. Charging. And go Knights.
Yeah, it sounds too much like good night. Go Knights. All right. Nice job, Pete Shepard. Are we squeezing a phone call here?
Yeah.
My screen's dead. Who is it?
Scott in Fort Myers.
Scott Fort Myers. Welcome to Sheeman and Shepard. How are you?
Scott.
What's up? You guys are probably up against the clock. All right. I'm going to be public enemy number one of the entire Southeast United States and maybe you guys.
All right.
Popeye's chicken is the best chicken. It is so much greater than Chick-fil-A.
Because of the buttermilk
coating. Get out of here. There's no way it's better than Chick-fil-A, Scott. You're wrong. It's scientifically proven. Chick-fil-A is the best fast food chain on earth.
No, I want to try it now.
I recently had it.
It's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's not an opinion, Chris.
It's a fact.
I have to have Popeye. I haven't had Popeye's in
a while. Is there Popeye's around here in Southwest Florida?
Yeah, there's one up in Fort Myers.
All right, I'm going to try one. All right, Scott, appreciate the phone call. By the way, 813, George Hamilton was the name of the actor I was thinking of.
Ludacris.
And another one says it's 11 herbs. All right.
Who says that?
What?
Better than Chick-fil-A. A ridiculous statement, Scott.
It's not. Scott,
it is.
Scott says it's fact.
No.
Now I want to try it because of Scott. All right. Coming up, the Obscure Sports Minute. Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Please. Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
The Everblades back on home ice tonight. They're hosting the Jacksonville Icemen. Coverage on our sister station, 770 WJBX, will start at 7:15. The puck drops.
All right.
At 7:30, the Blades playing some good hockey. They're 6-2 in their last 8 games, scoring a bunch of goals, and they are 3-2 against the Icemen this season. On Saturday, set your little alarm on your phone if you have to, because the Women's World Cup draw will be at noon on FS2. Women's World Cup. It's coming up next summer. And we got a bunch of games going on across the pond in soccer. Not a lot of scoring going on. Tottenham up on Southampton, 1-0. Chelsea up on Wolves, 1-0. Fulham up on Leicester, 1-0. It's 1-1 with Man U and Arsenal. That's kind of cool, I guess. Not a lot going on in the obscure sports world today either, guys.
This Arsenal game, people keep going down with 0-0,
Burnley, Liverpool. slow day.
Well, you really milked the clock. It is a slow day. In fact, I will tell you this. When Pete was running down the bowl games and the sponsorships, and we got into this Popeyes discussion, all of a sudden now our Stony Brook Golf Club text line is blowing up. Hey, don't tempt me with steering this show in that direction.
I'll drive it right into the ground.
I think Popeyes at one point, at least where I was in New England, at one point went out of business. I thought, and then they came back. Am I wrong about that? At least in one region of the country,
like Rocky.
I haven't had Popeyes in forever.
Like I said, I've never had it. Chris was adamant that Chick-fil-A's better, even though he's never had Popeyes.
It's
so
different.
How can
I don't
you
see
tell?
Chick-fil-A, but I don't think you can.
Chick-fil-A's not a true.
No.
Like, I mean, that's a fried chicken breast.
No,
Popeyes
would have to be compared to KFC.
Right.
And that's really it. You can't. You know, you're not going to compare Nuggets or Burger King stuff to that.
I would
even
put Zaxby's and PDQ up against a Chick-fil-A.
Fact.
I think they're slightly different.
All right, I'm good with that.
And by the way, Chick-fil-A still wins out in that argument. PDQ and Zaxby's, they're very good.
Yeah.
I frequent both establishments.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I haven't been to Zaxby's.
Well, the Popeyes thing is their buttermilk batter. That's what people say makes it
so
over
the
top.
So you've got to get a piece of chicken with all that flaky like breading and all that on it. That's how you have to roll at Popeyes,
yeah,
right?
But you don't need it. You know, it doesn't have to be heavily. There's nothing worse than heavily, heavily battered
That's
fried chicken.
That's my point. I enjoy just a plain chicken.
Oh, I love eating just fried batter.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the best part.
Jeez.
I love it.
Don't get me started on you and your diet and what's been going on the past 24 hours.
We didn't eat anything.
I know. He's hydrated, though.
Phrase was actively avoiding food.
You had a Wendy's double burger since they're a sponsor. You did. It's a big,
I did.
Fat, thick
Fantastic.
Wendy's double burger.
Dave's double, no pickle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Small fry and a Sprite. Crushed it.
Why the small fry? Keep the calorie count down?
Yeah,
Lepertard read that stat today, which I know is true because I've seen it. It's like that if you're going to, they say if you're going to indulge in French fries from a fast food place, to only eat six of them. Who the hell can only eat six fries?
Why? Six is like the warm-up in the bag while you're driving home.
At a time?
Yeah.
That's no for the whole.
Because the calories are so high?
Calories, not great for you, all that stuff.
239 says, 863, the only time Popeyes is better than Chick-fil-A is on Sunday, LOL. We all know that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. 239, Chris is dead wrong as usual. That's kind of harsh.
Someone says Publix has some decent fried chicken. They do. Their rotisserie chicken is delicious.
Okay. I'm ready for the great American chicken debate.
I mean, Publix fried chicken, it's strong. My issue with Publix fried chicken, it's always in a bag, and you can't put fried chicken in a bag. You have to eat it fresh so you get the good crisp on it. Once the fried loses the crisp.
You know what you do? You go on Sundays, right when they open, probably around 7:30, 7:30, 8:15, and all the rotisserie chicken, all the fried, you get the first batch that comes out, and the rotisserie chickens are on that, the spigot. And, man, there is nothing better than grabbing one right off the rack. Right off the rack.
Really?
Never been to a state fair. Any states.
Where is the Florida State Fair? Tallahassee?
There's the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
It's a, I don't know it to be there, but.
Oh, I've been there once. Not for the fair, for other
a
things.
A concert?
Like the graduation of a nephew.
Oh, there you go.
In the building. Yeah. All right. We're late. It's your guys'
fault.
The great chicken debate continues. And then I'm going to squeeze in a little LeBron prima donna-ism here. And I'm going to trash Kevin Durant, too.
Speaking of chickens.
All that coming up, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.